Hello, 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 and welcome to Buzz Binging. My name is Natalie.
And I'm
And we are going to be covering Bridgerton Season 4, Episode 2, Time Transfixed.
Odd choice of names for this episode, but okay.
No, I think I got this from Instagram or something, but each of the titles of the episodes are famous paintings.
Lovely. Isn't that lovely?
I think that makes a lot of sense, other than Hopper from a Gentleman, which is obviously the name of the book.
Right.
Either way, first, to get this off of, out of my head and into the ears of you.
Yes.
That's a weird way of putting it. Either way, we have an email that you can email your thoughts on all of these. We now have an email. It is buzzedbinging, all spelled out, @gmail.com. Please send your thoughts if you have any.
of any
of the shows we have covered. We have not had an email up to this point, and we would love to know your thoughts. We might add a segment to some of these episodes so we can discuss the thoughts.
Yeah, absolutely. Any feedback that we get, we would love to actually engage with you. Yeah. And I'm going to point this out. We have listeners all over the world, and we have had listeners all over the world at various times. We have covered a lot of shows. I don't think I can even like name all the shows that we've covered. But I do think that these are shows that have popular interests, that have popular themes, and that are worth watching. We hope that we've shared those and we've shared our thoughts about them, but you can have completely different thoughts. You could think that like we're insane.
You could think that Ethel is a great character.
I don't know. Abby. No.
I would love to hear your thoughts.
We are going to engage with you on that shit.
We'll engage with you regardless.
We will
love some engagement back.
We would. And I think that it is important to understand the point of this discussion is not just to hear ourselves talk. Obviously, we're having fun with that. But
we have been for several years.
But at the same time, we would love to engage with others. This is a social media thing, so we are meant to actually be engaging with you. So we are going to be covering in this episode, Season 4, Episode 2 of Bridgerton. Yay! I'm sorry. We love this show.
We do.
It's probably stupid and, from many people's opinions, mindless. Wrong or whatever.
That certainly seems to be the opinion of critics. Critics who have watched this season and think that it's dumb or whatever, or it's just a Cinderella story. It's like, it's a pretty damn good adaptation of a Cinderella story, and
we've watched pretty much every Cinderella story out there. Natalie is a huge aficionado of Cinderella stories. Maybe we should do that as like a couple episodes at one point.
That could be interesting.
Every Cinderella, like we could do Disney ones, we could do non-Disney ones.
Ever After.
So many. There's so many. They're like the old ones that have like ballet and stuff.
That's true.
They're lovely.
I think there's one called like Slipper in the Rose or something.
Yes.
Either way, it just like there are so many. I don't think that you should discount this season just because it's a Cinderella story.
No.
I think it's still a story that deserves to be told. And I think especially for the Bridgerton universe, having somebody from outside of the regular ton,
but even is so important. More especially to me, like we've had characters from outside the ton, we've had
but as a lead,
right? Like, but we've had a lot of exploration of artists, and a lot of this is brought in through Benedict and Eloise. You've had people brought into it that are part of the world, but we don't part of the world in which they live. But we don't get to see the downstairs much at all in this time period. And we've done upstairs, downstairs. We've
and done Downton Abbey.
We've done stuff that is significantly later and significantly more what I guess people would call progressive. But we haven't done anything that goes as far back as the early 1800s. We haven't done 1700s. You could go on and on about how these roles have changed over time.
And how society views them in general. And I think that, and again, I saw this in an interview, so I can't really take credit for this thought, but Yaren Hot and Luke Thompson have clearly thought a lot about this, which, I mean, as they should, it's their characters, they need to understand them super well. But It is generally the usual thing for Bridgerton is two people who are in love who get in their own way, and that's why they can't be together. And you sometimes it takes a whole season, sometimes it only takes half a season. Regardless, it takes some time. They only get in their own way, and society would view them as a good match regardless. Then you get this, where society is the major pressure, and it's not an issue of how much they love each other or how much they
Or
are
attracted.
attracted or interested. It's the and th this is really well shown in this episode in particular, is that it's society that's standing in their way instead, and how that would affect them. And it's been hinted at throughout the few seasons. Like in the first season, we were watching an episode where Eloise is threatening to tell Anthony that Benedict is fucking Madame Delacroix.
Yeah,
And
like
he's like,
that's the
oh,
thing.
don't tell him because she's, he would think it improper or
Right.
whatever. But then he is
Well,
obviously.
Anthony is also screwing his plan up at
Yeah,
that
no.
point,
But at
so.
that point, he has a mistress, and that's a whole thing. But either way, it's been hinted at that society would not view that in a good light. And so I
Well, it's
like
not
that
just been
they're
hinted at, like in this show. It is
the norm.
very common in the literature of the time and literature, before and after this time period, that people of different classes mixing, there's always going to be the scandal, whether or not it's real or pronounced or whatever. Like and I'm not going to go off on this for very long, but Lord Nelson is during this period, and he had a mistress that like was a maid. Like she'd started out as a maid, and then she worked her way up to being like married to some guy, and then he pulled her away from. And the some guy's like the King of Naples, so like he pulls her away from that. And, like there is a lot of freaking drama in Lord Nelson's life. Just for fun, if you ever want to look at that, there's some great stuff on The Rest Is History, which is my favorite history podcast right now. But she's like this made something of herself woman, and that was a huge scandal. It was in the papers, it was all over the place. And so when you're talking about this time period, class structure is very rigid, and that we're exploring that and where those edges are and what they actually mean and what they don't mean, right? Like, can you cross it? There are discussions, or should be discussions, in this season about that issue. And I think that's going to be really fun to explore. And I think they're doing some of that with this. We do have, now that we've gone on this tangent, we do have our usual caveats, which include that there will be cursing, certainly. I think there already has been.
There
Sorry.
has probably.
There will be spoilers, particularly for the books. I
Yes.
think,
We can't avoid it. I'm
we
sorry.
can't avoid it. We've read all of the books multiple times. We have watched all seasons that have been out multiple times. So, including this one, it's our third watch. So we are very invested in trying to convey our thoughts about how this works and how this works in the universe in which it has been constructed. So they're going to be spoilers. Sorry. We are also having things to drink, which is fun.
Yeah.
So, Natalie, what are you having?
I'm having sea glass Sauvignon Blanc.
It's lovely.
It's so good.
It's got a nice, like, citrus fruit, peachy
Apple.
almost apple. It's got a lovely palate to it. If you like Sauvignon Blanc or any white wine, really, it is a good, clean, lovely
It's very
wine.
good. And it's cheap.
Hey,
And we love to see it.
we do. I am having something from the Regency Book of Drinks because that is my focus, of course, for anything involving Bridgerton and or Jane Austen, or I don't know, like
Anything.
anything. Not really.
No.
Yeah, I try really hard to do other things for the other books that I have, because I have a Downton Abbey book, and I have a Peaky Blinders book,
You're
and I
welcome.
have, yeah, you're all over Outlander book. All of the books. And I have a Regency Book of Dreams books. I honestly, from a palette, my palette standpoint, there are a lot of things in here that I really like. And I've talked about them when we've done other series, books and Jane Austen and all that stuff. But this, I love coming back to Bridgerton because I think it's designed for Bridgerton particularly. And they have a whole middle section about like the men's drinks. And the one that I've chosen for this episode is called Second Son.
Makes sense, doesn't
It does, because Benedict's the second son. And this episode is kind of about how being a second son is kind of easier, right? So this calls for a bar spoon of absinthe, which you use to wash the glass. I didn't do that. I don't have absinthe in the house right now. I'm not against absinthe entirely.
I am.
But it's a very expensive cordial to have around the house. And we used up our last bottle where I gave it to my son or
I think he
something.
gave it to you.
Yeah. And so I didn't want to buy a whole thing for a bar spoon. So it just didn't do it. 2 ounces of rye whiskey, 1 ounce of sweet vermouth, cherry liqueur, and Angostura bitters. And honestly, it's so interesting the way these flavors come together. So you would expect this to be maybe a little fruity.
No.
It's not. It's a little more like a nut cream.
Yeah,
It's
it's more
more like a
nutty.
caramel
You're
nutty.
definitely sensing some nuttiness.
Yes, Remy. And that would
No,
be
that's a meal.
that. Oh, is it a meal?
Yeah, a meal says
I'm
that.
sensing some nuttiness.
Oh, I'm
Yeah.
definitely sensing some nuttiness.
Yeah. But there are nutty elements here. There are caramel elements to this drink. It's tasty. I'm kind of, surprised we're possibly drunk because, we did do the other episode before this, so things happen. But give it a try. This Regency Book of Drinks, and I will say this, if you are not a drinker, the mocktails in here are fantastic. And
They
we
are
did do
really
those
good.
previously. They're really,
We did
really
those
good.
for the Jane Austen
I
class, did
think
we
we
not?
did. They're really,
They're
really
really
good.
good.
And I may revisit them at some point, probably not in this Bridgerton series because it's only 8 episodes. But at the same time, I really enjoy what they have in this book. So please pick it up, mix some stuff, enjoy it, let us know. Send us an email. We'd love that.
We would really love that.
We would. So let's get going.
So, with the less rigid structure that we have, I think we save Sophie for last,
Okay.
Benedict second to last, and then
Well, that
before
means
that
I
we
can do
do.
that.
No, we'll talk about Alfie, I promise. And then we'll talk about Alfie. I fucking love him.
Yeah, I
But
absolutely.
I think that probably the best one to start with right now is the Queen.
Yes.
Majesty the Queen. Let me just say, I think that this has, and I'm glad that it's not like it's drawn out, but it's not like super drawn out of the reason why she's acting like this. So I'm glad that we find out in this episode why she's acting the way she's acting. So we have the Queen completely dismissing the fact that Lady Danbury is planning to leave. She's simply refusing that to be true. And one of her ladies in waiting is about to have a baby. And so she's basically like asking for maternity leave. And she's like, no, you're just going to get fired.
Yeah, like what? Well, okay. Maternity leave was not a thing back in the day, but at the same time, it's kind of like,
Confinement.
having to go into confinement. I'm not even sure that the reason for the firing has anything to do with the confinement. It has more to do with a question of loyalty, maybe.
I don't know.
And it's petty and
Extremely petty.
childish.
And Lady Danbury's like, I don't really want to hang out with you when you're like this. And so she stops hanging out with her for a while, and then the queen gets all despondent, and then Brimsley has to go and pick up the pieces by being like, hey, Lady Danbury, please apologize to her because she just needs to hear an apology. And then Lady Danbury's like, fuck that.
But hang on. So one of the things that Brimley mentions, and of course, if you've not watched or read Queen Charlotte, I recommend it, especially if you're a Bridgerton fan.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm saying this because I think there were some Bridgerton fans that didn't like the concept of Queen Charlotte because of whatever preconceptions they may have had. We watched it, and I honestly went into it like, eh, I'm not sure about this. I loved it.
I really
And
loved
I
them.
loved the interaction of Brimsley with Queen Charlotte. I love the interaction of Brimley generally. But I,
Brimsley and Reynolds.
they're adorable. But my point being that the development of Lady Danbury and her backstory and her interaction with the Queen, I think is really very, it informs all of this that we're seeing in this episode, and in, like in this whole story arc. So I think it's important to have some concept of what we're talking about because Brimsley brings up like, her feelings for and her life with George the King before this. You know how the Queen has, what she's facing with George and with that loss to her. And she's afraid. She's getting older. No one else really understands that. And that's true. Like it's the kind of thing you keep private. And, the more, the fewer people that actually know something as life progresses, you don't really want to share because there's so much that you don't really want to talk about it. So his appeal to Lady Danbury that like her world's getting smaller, she's got very few people that she can trust with this. And she's afraid and she's alone. She
And she will be
needs,
alone without Lady Danbury.
and she needs, and that's true. I mean, I think that that's really true as you age. It's like, the people who really get you, like family and stuff like that, you need those people.
Yeah.
And, her kids are not that for her. We saw some of that in
She's not
action.
close with any of her
Right. And we've
children.
seen that in Queen Charlotte, the show. If you look at anything online, she's got like 13 kids, but they're all like wild and out there. So it's very hard for her to have somebody that she considers to be a peer that she can talk to, and she needs Lady Danbury for that. And that's his point. It is a little unfair to Lady
Oh,
Danbury,
it's very unfair.
but I almost feel like some of this is milked
It is definitely
in
milked.
this episode and in other episodes.
Yeah, because I think that this was, while I like that the reasoning is explained to us in this episode, I feel like that was a reveal, more of a reveal for later. But either way, she tell essentially he just tells her, hey, please apologize. And she's just like, I don't really have anything to apologize for, if I'm being honest. And he's just like, well, yes, but please just do it so that she can
Save
get back to
face,
her better,
basically.
well, be in better spirits, and not so that we don't have to deal with a despondent queen who is the one who's basically the figurehead of the entire country. And
Right.
so she goes to Charlotte and she apologizes. And then Charlotte is just, when she tries to broach the subject of leaving again, Charlotte is just like, no, I refuse. I'm your queen. And she's like, oh, and I'm just a subject. I see how it is. She's about to leave. And then Charlotte immediately apologizes. And then she just explains that she's afraid to be alone.
And she's like,
And
what if he dies?
yeah, she's scared. And
Yeah.
no matter how many times they like joke about it in Queen Charlotte and out of, whenever somebody comes in a room and is about to tell her something, she immediately thinks it's George dying. She's afraid of it. She makes light of it, but she is afraid of it because she loves George. She also realizes that whenever he's lucid, he understands her and knows her. And she's afraid of losing that and losing a friend who is so close to her. And so Lady Danbury is just comforting her and he's like, all right, well, I guess I'm trapped here for a while, whatever.
Yeah, I mean, there's a resignation for Lady Danbury, but there's also an understanding on her part. Like, I get that emotionally the Queen needs me. I'm just, there's some things I need for myself, and I need some empathy from her too.
Yeah.
So I think that that is probably something that they're going to try to resolve this season, but
I think they will.
reality is that right now you're eating up way too much screen time with this.
Because we have
Sorry.
so many other things to talk about.
The truth is, I adore Lady Danbury as a character. Queen Charlotte, I've grown to love. They're great characters.
And amazing
They
actresses.
do. Oh yeah. Oh God, yeah.
Ugh.
And God, again, new costumes and all of those
The
things that are
wigs.
involved with them.
Fuck.
Fantastic. But at the same time,
The story that we're here for is Benedict's story.
Yeah, I will say that, like, similarly to season one, and I said this initially, I might be rephrasing now because I'm a little tipsy, but when I first watched this season, the subplots didn't bother me because they all tie into a similar theme of appreciating what you have. And that's a lesson that Benedict needs to learn this season. And it's something that a lot of other characters need to learn as well, where, like, Queen Charlotte needs to learn to appreciate that Lady Danbury and her had this friendship, but
You
she
can't
also
take
needs to appreciate that Lady Danbury is her own person.
well, and then not taking it for granted. So I think there's a spell in this episode where every one of the major players is despondent. Queen Charlotte's despondent, Benedict's despondent, Sophie's despondent, because they're bereft. This person that they care so much for is not part of their lives at this moment. But it is partly because they aren't seeing the other side, right? Like they aren't seeing what is happening with that person and not really reaching out to and listening to what that person is saying to them.
Yeah.
And, or they're afraid to. I mean, there are a thousand obstacles, but the obstacles are real.
They're human.
They're human. And forgiveness is important,
That's what
right?
makes me love this episode so much, especially once we get to the Benedict and Sophie stuff. There's a moment in this episode that this time randomly, and it might be my PMS, but it's not even PMS anymore. It's just
MS.
MS. But I
Not
almost
multiple sclerosis. That's not what we're talking
no.
about.
It's just menstrual syndrome. Anyway, so when I was watching this third time, and this happened kind of with the second time as well, and the first time, if I'm being honest, there's a section of this which we will get to that I almost cried. Which is really bizarre because I didn't think I was going to care this much. But I do care. And I think that that theme around appreciating what you have, but also being able to see the other side of why. And I think that's something that the book tried to do very well. And I think that they did to a certain degree, but I think the show really just got it, where, like, showing the different sides of the Benedict and Sophie relationship and, like, understanding where they're both coming from. And
So I think again, we're talking inner monologue, and
yeah.
inner monologue is something that is very hard to convey on screen, or can be very hard to convey on screen without like
Having other characters talk to them about
or
it.
the idiotic Claire monologues we get
Oh my God.
on Outlander.
I
Sorry, we
remember when I
actually
stepped in the puddle.
we have so many other avenues to explore that in this show. So among them, we've got, of course, Lady Whistledown, who's kind of a narrator. She kind of gives you some background, whatever.
And we've got side characters that
We've
are
got,
added.
family who can bring like their perspective in. Like we've got Violet, we've got, Lady Amber. We've got people that have vested interests in the various characters that, and we're gonna get that some in the Sophie discussion too, because she's so many people that care for her that are part of this, that we get to hear the richness of their character
Which
through that.
and they weren't in the book, and I love that they added them. It's a lot like a Will being added to season one, where it's kind of like what we were discussing last episode, where Will served a specific purpose in season one. And then once we got around to getting to, I feel like they've done a pretty good job of not adding too many people to the other seasons for that purpose. But when you have a loner like a Simon or a Sophie in from based off of the books, adding another character or two that are on their side and will talk to them in
Well, and at
plain
their level
language.
too, like somebody that they consider to be a peer,
Yeah.
and I think that they're really going to open up to, like, how a Simon interacts with, someone else, whatever,
is
like
different
Lady
from how
Amber,
he acts
is going to be
with.
very different from how he acts with Will. The same is true for Sophie. She is not going to interact with, Posey. Even though Posey is empathetic and a nice person and all that stuff, she's not going to interact with her the same way that she's going to interact with someone she considers to be at her level.
Exactly. And so having those additions really does help. And so getting into the meat of the episode, it begins with Benedict going back to his art thing, which he had essentially given up in season three, because in season two, he was like, all right, season one, he was getting into his art thing. Like he was into it, but then Charles Blake comes along and is like, you can get really into it. You can have orgies about it. And then season two, he gets into the Royal Academy of Art thanks to Antony. And then once he finds out that Antony got him in, he's just like, okay, so it wasn't me. And so he gets all weird about it. And then season three, he kind of gave up art. He doesn't even bring it up with Tilly and her friend. And it's just a whole thing. Whereas with season four, he's now getting back into the art thing because he has a muse.
Well, right, but he also, and I think this is part of what we're going to see actually in the next episode, not so much this one. He's always been dabbling. In the book, he doesn't even have like the art school. We don't get as much development of his artistic talent until his book, honestly.
It's true.
So we see it more as like Sophie pushing him as opposed to him having tried and considering, like being a perfectionist and like, oh, it's not what I want it to be. And so giving up. So I think that some of those aspects of being a Bridgerton and being is a Bridgerton who has artistic aspirations, or like Colin being a Bridgerton and having writing aspirations, it's like you feel like you have to be the absolute best at whatever it is.
Yeah, because you have these other people in your family who seem to excel at other things or have already gotten married, so they're kind of like off on their own. And so it's kind of like the like many siblings syndrome of like if you have a lot of siblings, no matter what, it almost feels like a competition for attention of you need to feel like you're the best at something to stand out. And I think that it's interesting to compare that to like the debutantes of like they spend hours trying to cultivate this to make themselves feel like they're the best choice for this person, and sometimes they just aren't.
Right. Well, and they're angling for various weird things, but they don't, like, oh, and this comes up in this episode, like Rosamond approaches Benedict and talks about swimming in deep water or whatever. And she's like, it was going really well. And then he asked me what I wore to the ball and then he wasn't interested. You're trying to portray yourself as what that other person wants, as opposed to who you are. And never feeling like you're enough. I think that's a lot. There are a lot of analogies to real life, a lot of analogies to social media and everything else. I think there's just, this is unfortunately a very human thing
And
that isn't going to go away.
it's also interesting with the Posey element of being unashamedly who she is and it putting people off, whereas where there is a moment with Benedict and Posey that I really love. But there, we'll talk about that later. But it's so interesting because you get the two ends of the spectrum with the Lee children, which we should explain. For Araminta, she had two marriages. The first marriage, she had Rosamond and Posey. And then the second marriage, she didn't have any children, but essentially, she just married into the family.
Right.
And then both of
And
them died.
right. And Sophie was her second husband's ward.
We'll talk about Sophie in a minute. Let's start with Benedict. Benedict is drawing again, and he's drawing from memory the lady in the silver gown, which we now know is Sophie.
He's
And
doing amazingly. He's so
that's so
detailed.
pretty.
It's beautiful.
That's so pretty. He's mainly focusing on like the lips. He's having flashbacks. It's very hot. It's very cute.
Well, right, and he's trying to get every angle of her face with like the interaction of her face,
There's so
lips,
many different
everything.
sketches from different angles of her turned and he's seen her in motion, and oh, it's so beautiful. I love it. he just wants to capture her in so many different ways because he doesn't have the real thing in real life right now. And so he's doing that, and he is determined to find her, regardless of like the fact that she basically gave him nothing. He wants to find her. And so he, under the guise of chaperoning Eloise to different society functions, he is going to try to find the lady in the silver gown by what means, just questioning people. And so they, but Eloise immediately is like, all right, let's go to Lady Whistledown. And so let's go to talk to Penelope. They talk to Penelope, and she's just like, well, I noticed that she was there, but I didn't know who she was. And tell me about her. And Eloise is like, please tell me you didn't just talk about yourself. And he's like, no, I did ask her about herself, but she just didn't really give me like really useful replies. Like, I know that she can't dance. I know that she lived in England for her life, her whole life. Also,
She reads Lady Whistledown.
she reads Lady Whistledown because she then figured out who I was based off of like the setting
The
and
clues, yeah.
the clues. And she
What?
also likes deep water, question mark,
Yeah,
because
like.
of the metaphor she used.
Right. So, and it's fun because Penelope's like, all right, I cannot write about her because that will ruin her reputation. Everyone knows you're a rake. And he's like, I'm not a rake. And they're like, you're a
You're
rake.
right.
It's just like that unison, like you're right, Benedict. That's the way it is.
And he's like, yeah, whatever.
And he's like, well, but and he is.
He is.
But I think you coming into terms with that, that's gotta be part of, I hope, the second half of this season is that he has got to resolve that.
I think there's a possibility
It doesn't
of
get really resolved in the books, by the way.
it
It
doesn't.
bothered me a lot. If you are interested in my thoughts about Benedict in this book, see our series on the books. But I had a lot of issues with Benedict in the book.
Yeah, I do too, but I think that it's a distinct possibility that it'll be included in part two.
Well, and admittedly, they calm him down from his, in his interactions with Sophie. He is a lot less aggressive.
Oh, I love that.
Than he was in the book, which is probably a good thing. I mean, I would have
It is
liked
a
a
good thing.
little more expansion, but not a ton. So
You just want more sex.
I do want more sex. I like sex on the show. It's usually pretty good.
It's usually really good, but I honestly, what they have, we'll talk about later.
Yeah,
Either
anyway.
way, so Benedict is like, okay, well, you don't have to say her name, but like, say that I'm searching for someone and I'm going to be walking on Rotten Row and you can find me there.
Yeah.
And so
Come see me.
he's having Eloise talk to the suitors about their sisters and relatives and
Well, and
stuff.
girls they've met, things like
Yeah.
that. The guys are going to have seen a lot of girls
That's
and
true.
probably a lot, paid attention to a lot more girls than Benedict, because Benedict was just like, get away, get away, get away. And the same is true for him. He's going to talk to the girls. And again, he can look at the girls, see if any of them look familiar. But he can also get a sense of who else do they know, kind of thing. Like, who else is out there? Are any of these people that girl? Why are they not that girl? Who can I eliminate and how?
Yeah, he's mainly looking at lips because that's really all that he was able to see other than eyes. And
Well, and he felt them.
he did feel them. And so he keeps flashing between Sophie's lips and the lips of the people he's talking to. Rosamond comes up and he's like, that's close. All right, so
That's
tell me about
probably the
you.
closest of many in this gathering.
Yeah. So what's up with you? And then he finds out that what costume she wore is like immediately, nope, that's not her.
Nope.
And Rosamond's bereft, but whatever, I don't care.
Well, part of what I love about this is, suppose he's like, with all these women, they're like a gaggle of geese with a crumb of bread. Like, they're none of them are going to end up satisfied.
That's true.
And she's right. And
I really
Aramis
like
is like,
Lucy.
stop it.
It's like, yeah. Shut up. It's like,
I
whatever,
will
man.
say that Cho Chang, and I keep referring to
Katie
her as
Long.
Katie Long, she's fantastic in
Oh, I
this
love
role.
her.
She's
She
such a good
killed
actress
it.
anyway. She's great.
She's able to show off in this episode. And she got to show off a little bit in the last episode, but this episode in particular, when you get backstory.
She gets to be villain, villain. She gets to
Oh,
be evil stepmother all the
so
way.
fun.
I will say, though, in the book, Araminta as a character is actually worse. So if you're thinking, oh, she's evil, like, you ain't seen nothing yet. You need to read the book. Because the she is so bad in the book. She's bad here. She's much worse, 1,000 times worse in the book. Anyway, so proceed.
Either way, So Benedict, he keeps dragging Eloise to different society functions,
That's good that Eloise is willing to do it too.
well, Eloise is willing to do it because she sees that her brother's really intent on doing it.
Well, but she's also like, he has promised her, like, hey, this will make mom leave you alone about suitors and stuff because she'll see
And
you as
it's
being
true.
special. And it's true. Because as soon as Eloise is alone with guys, they just flock to her.
Yeah,
And so
because
it
she's
proves, well,
gorgeous.
right, and it proves that Violet was right along. Like, if you made any effort at all, you'd have people banging down the door, which is true.
Yeah.
But the reality for Eloise is that she's never known how to deal with that. She's always been afraid of it. She's still afraid of it. And she wants to deal with it on her terms. And her terms are very absolute, which is frustrating for a lot of us, including the viewers. So, whatever.
But Benedict, after many balls and soirees and
Like
such.
six balls, seven soirees, I think is the way I put it.
Yeah,
But
so
still,
a
we've been
couple
all
of
this
weeks.
stuff.
It's
It's
been a
like,
couple of weeks.
yeah, it's like we're not making any progress. And Benedict's like, fine, give up.
You don't worry about it, Eloise. You can give up, whatever.
And you notice that his sketches start getting to be more like line drawings,
And
which
even
is very
Penelope,
big.
yeah, even as Penelope, and I did point that out of like, he the further he gets away from the ball, the less he can detail her face, which makes a lot of sense.
But he has the old drawings. He should be able to draw on that. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
But yeah, he does all of that, and
Penelope, you were saying.
yeah, sorry, Penelope. Penelope even mentions in Whistledown that he's given up, and so Violet reads that and is like, wait, but he was doing so
She's like,
well.
wait, what's wrong? And so
She
she.
even like stops Marcus from like getting handsy with her when she sees that. And she's like, wait, I need to talk to my
I have things
husband,
to do. I need to
my
walk down, talk to
son.
my
What's
daughter-in-law.
wrong with
Daughter-in-law.
me?
So she goes over and she's like, so, you've been writing about Benedict and Lady Whistledown. And Penelope's like,
Lady
I can't
Whistledown
disco
can't reveal her
can't reveal
secrets.
secrets. She's like, Penelope Bridgerton. It's like, sit down, girl. And she's like, yes, ma'am.
I love that. I love it so
I
much.
do too.
That
Violet,
is,
I love you.
no, I absolutely adore it, and it is so cute. It goes to show that, like, even I love that Penelope is so happy to see Violet when she first comes in, but when she's called down, she's like, "Oh, okay, sorry, sorry, sorry about that, Miss Lady Bridgerton. I will absolutely tell you literally everything about what your son told me." It's no longer in confidence, even though I'm the best secret keeper among us. I am not going to keep that from you. It's really cute. And then Violet figures all that information out and just like stands in the doorway and is just smirking. It's like, okay, Benedict, so tell me, what's up with this young lady? I had a very interesting conversation with Penelope. And Benedict is just like, fine. And then he immediately takes out the glove from his pocket, which, that's adorable that he carries it around
Yeah, it's all
everywhere.
scrunched up in his little
It's
tiny
so cute. Oh,
vest
I love
pocket of
it.
the biscuit.
I don't know why I love that, but it's so cute that he likes to keep it close by. It's
Yeah.
just cute. And so that's very sweet. And she immediately looks at it. It's like, much like in the book, she's immediately like, well, you should have come to your mother first because there's a crest for the Earl of Penwood. And he's like, oh, okay. But I talked to Miss Lee, Rosamond, and that's not her. And Violet's like, oh, I'm relieved to hear that, but there might be other people staying there. So maybe give it a shot. Maybe go over there. And he's like, okay, all right. And this is where we're about to intersect. So
Yes.
let's talk about Sophie. So,
Okay.
Sophie, going back to the beginning of the episode, we get to see the night of the masquerade ball from Sophie's perspective, at least the preparation for it. She has to remake a mask for Rosamond because she, quote, lost hers, even though that's not true. It was just like underneath her dressing table, which she must have knocked over. But of course, Sophie takes the brunt of that, and so she has to deal with it. And so she is dealing with all of that stuff. She's called up to apologize for misplacing it, even though she didn't. But she has to be very patient, and
She's constantly having to take responsibility for things she didn't do,
yeah.
which is part of the injustice of where she is. And it is part of the injustice of how she's been treated from the beginning by Lady Penny, by Araminta.
Calling her envious and
Rosamond calls her envious, and then Araminta's like, yeah, you're envious. Like, I mean, it's just,
now
it's
apologize.
now apologize, which is ridiculous. So I think the way they show this is really good. The truth of, well, not the truth, but the way this is portrayed in the book is that as soon as there's a mark on the shoes, poor Sophie gets locked in a closet with all
Oh,
the
that's later. That's
shoes
later.
to clean them.
Yeah. That is later though. But
I'm sorry.
before that, after they leave for the masquerade, she goes downstairs and she talks to Alfie and the housekeeper, who I
Oh, I forgot.
wish I remembered the
Al,
name. Alfie is
yeah,
this Welsh, I think he's Welsh
he's the
guy.
Welsh gay friend,
And I
and
love him.
he's a Welsh gay friend.
He's literally
He
the
is
best.
so freaking great.
I
I
love him
love
so much. He's the
Alfie.
best hype man ever.
He's like, Sophie,
This is
so.
bad, Sulky Sophie.
No, that's later.
That is later, but either way, he's the best. And Sophie's bit not bitching, but she's ranting about all this stuff,
Like,
as
I'm
she should.
envious. Like, yeah, I'm envious because you're not even gonna enjoy it. I would love to go to Wall. It would be the
And not
best
be a part of the
fucking
furniture.
amazing. Yeah.
And so he's just like, well, maybe you can go to the ball tonight. And she's like, what do you mean? That would be really fun, but what do you mean? And he's just like, no one will know who you are. Why couldn't you? We could get the spare coach. We could find a dress. I think you can do it. And you have a mask right here that you just had to
This is
make.
lovely because, and he added to it, obviously, but not a lot.
Because he
And
can sew.
it can sew. I can sew, Sophie. Does it? Yeah.
He's so
I
great. I
love him.
love him.
He's great.
So they convince her, and she's like, well, we'll have to find a good costume. And
And
they
he's
get
like,
her ready, and they
she looks
essentially
amazing.
from the attic, they get a dress
They
and
don't.
gloves.
Yeah.
The
There are silver shoes
she
that
made
Araminta has.
she made the mask, and she gets Araminta's shoes, and she's concerned about the Araminta shoes, but she takes them anyway
Yeah,
because
she's
fuck
like,
Araminta.
well, Araminta has more shoes than she could possibly wear, right?
Yeah, between her and Rosamond, apparently they have like over
A
100
thousand. No,
cap.
they said
No, it's
a
100.
thousand. Well,
It's
the
100
hundred,
layers.
100 pair is over 1,000 shoes, is what she says. So, like, there are large numbers. Anyway, so she wears these shoes. She's driven to the ball,
And she
and
does the whole ball thing.
she does the whole ball thing. And Alfie's the one who we had seen in episode one is like, you need to get with this group here. Let's get out of the coach. And she's like, I can do this. I can do this. And
Yeah.
he's so sweet. He's
I
so
love him.
amazing. He's so great. And even more in this episode, we get to see more of him, which is
Yeah.
fantastic.
So later on, Araminta notices that the silver shoes are marked,
Yeah.
and that's from Sophie's dancing, and surely from like his boot or something.
Yeah, when she stepped on him, he
Yeah.
stepped on her or something.
Exactly.
Because she wasn't
And
dancing quite right. She wasn't.
however, Araminta gets pissed off, and she's just like, you're supposed to notice this stuff. So you need to restitch and clean all of these shoes, including Rosamond's collection.
And it's like, this is going to take months.
And she's like, well, then you'll get good at it. Like, fuck you.
Yeah.
And so
Again, this is slightly different in the book. She's actually locked, physically locked in a closet with a candle. Like, here, good luck with that.
yeah, either way, it's still we still need her to be able to talk
Oh
to
yeah,
other people, so I'm fine
no.
with the change. And so she talks to Alfie and the housekeeper about, yeah, no, I did meet a gentleman, and he was Benedict Bridgerton. They're like, oh, Sophie,
Sophie, you're
Sophie,
not sulky Sophie anymore. Oh my God.
you're
Yeah.
horny Sophie.
Yeah, exactly. It's so funny.
And
Alfie, I mean, it's the, some of it's the Welsh or fake Welsh accent is so funny.
I love it. Either way, she is like, no, but she's very dismissive of it. And whenever she reads, Alfie reads and whistle down about how Benedict
Benedict's
is
looking for
searching for
Gregory.
somebody,
Yeah.
He's like, oh, it might be you, Sophie.
I think I've read every one of Lucidone's columns, and he's definitely looking for you. I'm doing
I
Scottish
was about to say,
impression.
you're not
So,
kidding.
Sophie.
Well, speaking of Scottish, a brief interlude for the fact that Francesca and Penelope notice how good John is with children. That's the only
It's the
interlude.
only thing that is in, reflects on them in this episode that will come up later.
Yeah, but it's important. Either way, well, it's important to us because we've read the books. Either way. So they're talking about that, but then they also hear that he's kind of giving up the search. And so
Benedict is,
yeah,
yeah.
Rosamond is annoyed, but Sophie is kind of like, all right, well.
Well, but because Benedict, because Violet has intervened, and have we talked about this with the glove yet?
What about it?
Oh, that she has recognized the Penwood crest.
No, yeah, I've already talked about
All
that,
right,
yeah.
so we see Posey come to Sophie and be like, "Oh my God, I've got a suitor. I've got a guy coming to see me."
Yes.
And Sophie doesn't know who it is. Posey, I'm not even sure Posey knows who it is.
She doesn't.
But she needs to get ready for this guy coming to the door. And it, of course, is Benedict. And so Sophie has gotten Posey ready. She's gotten her to look pretty and, here, good luck, whatever. And
Take
then
it
she
this
hears
way.
Benedict's voice and she starts to watch through the crack in the door.
This moment almost
Oh.
made me cry. I don't know why. Again, it might be the MSing. It might be many things. But I almost got to crying like the first and second time I watched it because it's just so sad.
It
And
is,
I
and Taylor Swift's "Enchanted" is
oh,
playing.
it's such the
So
perfect
sweet,
song for them. Oh my God.
it is.
And we all knew that, and we were all expecting it. But I like that it's the only
Still don't
cover that I
know.
recognize in this episode. It's perfect timing for it. And she's just watching Benedict be so kind to Posey. And because Posey can be a lot, she's talking about like having hands for feet in her
And
dream.
theater and shit like that. Like she can't go to the theater anymore because she had this dream where she had whatever. It's
It's bizarre, but Benedict is very
not
nice
sane.
to her.
He's and he's like, so are you so creative with other stuff? Like, I don't know. Do you like to play dress up? What did you wear to the masquerade? And she describes what she wore. He's like, so you weren't wearing slumber? And she's like, no. And at that point, Aramente is kind of like, did somebody wearing silver catch your eye? Because in the back of Aramente's mind, she saw flames of who we all now know is so Sophie at the ball. And so he's like, not really, I'm just trying to place everybody,
Yeah, but even before that, while Sophie's watching,
Oh my God, Sophie's
it's
just in
just,
anguish.
oh my
And
God.
Alfie's like, you should go in there.
You
It
should go
doesn't
in there.
matter if
It
you go in
doesn't
there
matter
right
if Lady
now.
Penwood's there. It's like, it does matter.
It does. It totally
But
matters.
it, 'cause like, regardless, he's just calling on her the next day. This isn't a proposal of marriage. This is nothing to provide security. You don't know any of what would happen if you were to reveal yourself in this moment. But she also says something even sadder, which was included in the trailer, and it really encapsulates Sophie's journey throughout this season. And it's that he's not looking for me, he's looking for the lady in the silver gown, and she does not exist.
Right,
It
like
is a
I was
version of
pretending.
her
I was an
that
imposter.
she is a version of her that doesn't exist, a version of her that is higher class, who could have a gentleman call on her, a version of her if she were accepted by Araminta and the Earl of Penwood, if she were allowed to go be a debutante at that ball, that is what would have happened,
Could have happened.
could have happened, but
But she might
it's
have been a
not.
different person altogether if she had been a debutante. Like all of those factors would have made her less attractive to Benedict. The things that make her attractive to Benedict is who she actually is, as opposed to who she could have been. But
Which is honestly even sweeter,
right,
but
it is. But I'm not, she of course doesn't know this at this point, and he doesn't know it at this point. And so he's like, kind of like, yeah, my cousin with somebody visiting, like anything. But clearly, these women are not the woman that he's seeking.
what is sad about this moment is when Sophie leaves the crack in the door.
Oh,
And he looks right afterwards.
Like he feels a disturbance in the force for
He
sure.
does. In the romance force, he doesn't he feels a disturbance. And she walks into Araminta's room where the shoes are, and she silently screams.
Yeah, she covers her mouth and
It
just
is the saddest thing in the world. She just feels like she's not worthy of it. She knows that society wouldn't deem it proper. And he lives in this world of all of this pleasantries and
structure.
structure and societal expectations, and also just generally, what's the word I'm looking for?
Not sure.
I don't know.
Are we talking about the structure or are we
We're talking
talking?
about wealth,
Oh, well,
like a
just the
silver
class,
spoon.
right? So the class structure is very much part of this. So like he is very,
Privilege, Jesus, from privilege.
right. And we're going to talk about this more in the next couple episodes, but as portrayed in the books, Benedict is unaware of a lot of the privilege he has lived with. He is semi-conscious of it, but not really.
It really comes out of my cottage, and which we'll
Yeah,
talk about next episode.
we are definitely.
However, either way, also we missed a flashback really quickly.
Right. So there are a couple of flashbacks in this episode and whatever.
Which we can describe now. I think that it won't.
That are to Sophie and Lady Pym. We had seen her meeting Lady Pym with Rishon. Have we talked about this already? The flashback where she
No.
met. Okay, so she had met Lady Penwood when I guess her father married Lady Penwood, and she's introduced as part of the line of servants. And she's actually skipped over in the introductions. And
He's
Lady
trying to
Penwood,
avoid it.
Aramis is like, "So who's this lovely little girl?" And he's like, "Oh, that's my ward." And she's like, "Fuck!" Aramis is. She's kind of like, "Oh my God," because Sophie does this beautiful curtsy, and she had been saying beforehand, like, "I'm gonna have a mother, and I'm gonna have sisters," and the other servants,
The
particularly
housekeeper.
the housekeeper, who's the cook that we actually see in preparing her for the ball and everything else, are like, "You cannot say father in front of the new Lady Penwyn. You can't do it." And she's like, "Why?" It's like, "Just don't."
Please
Because
just don't.
they give her like no time to prep for this. It's just like, "Just don't." And she's kind of like, "Okay." And so that dynamic, you see very clearly that Araminta's like shocked that he has a ward, shocked that she's expected to like care for her. In the book, actually, Lord Penwood, the Earl, whatever, he's fucking terrible to Sophie. Like he
He's
acts like she's a
dismissive.
fetus. In the series, he's a little bit kinder,
But also still dismissive.
but still, he's distant. He's not unkind, he's just distant. So there are two flashbacks that I can remember in this
There are
episode.
three.
Okay.
The next flashback involves her asking about her mother,
Yes.
and she's not being included in dancing lessons, which further proves that she doesn't know how to dance.
Right.
And so Lord Penwood simply says, "Well, you got your necklace from her because Sophie wears this necklace all the time, and it's an heirloom.
And she wore it to the ball.
It's the only heirloom she has from her mother."
It's hard to tell exactly what it is. It looks like maybe a black pearl, a single black pearl on a pendant,
Potentially,
or like a black diamond, something. It's
it's
a
something
dark
simple but
jewel.
beautiful, and she wears it constantly as a reminder of her mother. And he, when she asks about her mother, like how she died, he does not tell her, which is
No.
bizarre. I think
No.
she just died of an illness or
So
something.
the way I understood it in the book, is that her mother like maybe died in childbirth or died of an illness when she was very, very young,
Yeah.
that her grandmother on that side delivered her to Lord the Earl of Penwood and disappeared and died or something.
Yeah.
And so she has no relatives from her mother's side.
Yeah, that sounds about right. And so she doesn't know any of this. She doesn't know at this point who her mother was or who she was to the Earl of Penwood. And The next flashback is after the Lord Penwood dies. Oh,
Yes.
he also doesn't tell her anything. But
Totally unhelpful.
very unhelpful. I mean, she was young, but you need to tell her stuff. But he dies, and she's talking to Araminta after right after the funeral. And Araminta tells her that she was not included in his will, and so she will not be provided for. And also that her mother was a maid turned his mistress, and she gave birth to Sophie and died when she was very young. And then,
No provision was made for Sophie, blah, blah, blah.
and so she's going, hey, I'll provide for you. You'll have a roof over your
You
head,
can
some
be a
clothes. You
maid.
can be a maid. And she's just
It's
like, but
this.
I'm a nobleman's daughter. And she's just like, but
You're
you're,
illegitimate.
yeah, you're illegitimate and you're not provided for.
Yep.
So
Period.
there you go.
End of discussion. Fantastic. And she's like, oh, trust me. And Sophie, she's got no experience of the world. She has no idea where to go or how. She has no connections. She has nothing to draw on. And so she's kind of
She's
stuck.
really stuck.
And so, she learns to do the best that she can in that role. And that is true of Sophie in the book as well. And so what we see
After that,
after,
Araminta puts the pieces together. She
right,
sees
so
Benedict
Benedict,
leaving and sees him looking at the glove and recognizes the glove from the attic and is immediately like, that was fucking Sophie.
right. And so she actually goes into Sophie's room and finds the silver. She says the silver dress under your mattress. We had seen the glove under the mattress, whatever.
Well, it's under her bed. Under the mattress is the glove. Under the bed is probably the box with the
Whatever.
dress in it.
Whatever. So she's like, that dress I found. So what she does is she confronts Sophie. She's like, try these silver shoes on. And Sophie's like, oh, I don't have time. I got another stuff. She's like, no, you're going to try them on now. And she basically throws them at her. And Sophie
She
tries.
just drops them on the floor, waiting for her to pick them up like a servant.
Right. And she's like, yeah, they're a perfect fit. You were the person who went to the ball. You wore that dress. You did all of these things. And she considers it theft and impersonation of a noble person, which is shit. I mean, from a legal standpoint, at least in this day and age, I'd be like, yeah, that's nothing. But the reality is that in that period, and of course, Sophie doesn't know how other people would perceive it. So Sophie's very intimidated by this. She's like, I'll do whatever you want. I'll clean more stuff. I'll do whatever you want me to do to make up for it. And Aramis's like, there's nothing you can do. I'm firing you. Get out.
And then Sophie starts to question, why did you even keep me on after my father died? And she doesn't answer. We know the reason why from the book. I'm
And
assuming they're
maybe
going to keep it.
I think they are, but it's going to be a version. We will talk about it
We
maybe.
can just talk about it now.
Okay, so in the book, Araminta, there was a provision in the Earl of Penwood's will that allowed for Araminta to have a greater stipend, like a greater amount of money, if she kept Sophie on in the house. And so it doesn't say in what role, it doesn't say anything else. There's also a dowry for Sophie
Once she reaches a
once
certain
she
age.
reaches like 21. And so there is money set aside for Sophie. There is money to be spent on Sophie. Like the amount of money that is the increase for
It's
Araminta,
tripled, I think.
it's tripled or something like that, to be used in part for Sophie,
Tripled
which,
for three children, yeah.
right. So, but Araminta's never honored that. She's just taken the money and done whatever she wants with it. And this will be important. Particularly as we get to the end of episode four and probably into the second half of the season. But that money, Aramint is doing what she wants with it, and is a very interesting component to this whole dynamic. And of course, how it's going to be handled going forward is an interesting question for us as well, having read the books. So Sophie is let go. And I shouldn't say I love this because I don't. I mean, I don't love what Aramage does,
No, what
but
I love is the reactions to it of the housekeeper immediately started a collection for Sophie, collecting some of the
money.
spare wages that people were willing to give up for Sophie, which was very sweet. It was enough for like a week in a boarding house, which is actually kind of insane. And also what Araminta says is you will not work in Mayfair. She will ruin her reputation so much that she will not be able to work in London, at least.
But
And
Posey actually gives Sophie some shoe clips
to sell.
to sell.
This is a change from the book that I really like
Me
because
too.
it gives her plausible deniability. So in the book, Sophie is the one who steals the clips.
Because she's
She,
in the
yeah,
closet
she's in the
at the
closet. She's, and
time
it's
that
the
it's
front of
announced, or
Silver
like you're getting,
Shoes.
like you're getting kicked out by Araminta, and she's still like in the closet at that time. So she's
Yeah.
like, fine, I'm taking shoe clips.
Yeah, she's taking the shoe clips. And you know what? Valid. However, in this version, Posey being the one to steal the clips and Sophie just keeping them so that she can sell them, I think gives her enough plausible deniability for later on, which is setting up what happens in the book, which we'll talk about in episode four when we're talking about predictions. Either way, I really like that that was changed so that there's a little bit more
Yeah,
clarity.
there's an arm's length thing here.
Exactly. There's a reason she has done nothing wrong.
Right.
It has been things around her that have been shit. And
And there are a lot
so,
of things around her that have been chick.
absolutely. Either
So
way.
also in this sequence when she's leaving, Alfie, the icon, the legend, the
The moment.
Welsh gay friend everyone needs,
Yes.
hugs her and says, "Don't say anything. I want to hold on to my anger."
I want to stay angry.
I want to stay angry.
I do
No.
not blame. Honestly, how human is that shit? Like,
It's like,
literally being like,
I'm
don't tell me
fucking
anything that will make me feel
furious.
better right now. Like, oh, I'll see you soon. No,
No.
no, no, no. I want to be angry at this bitch. Let me be angry.
Amen, brother. And so that's awesome. And then
Yeah.
Rosamond is like this complete shit. Like, oh, well,
I
sorry
guess
you
you
couldn't
didn't
do
do
your
your
job.
job.
Fuck you, Rosamond. Like, oh, she's so
At
evil.
least she says goodbye, I guess. Either way, she's still shit.
She's a shit.
Either way,
Yes.
Benedict at this point has completely lost hope. And so he's
Oh,
gonna,
baby
so he
boy.
has this talk with Eloise on the
Oh,
swings.
I will say this also. Sophie takes the glove with her.
She also takes the glove, yes. She also has this doll that she had from childhood that's kind of sad.
Whatever.
Either way,
The glove is important.
the glove is actually important. And I had this theory at the time. I think this has been disproven, but I thought she still had the dance card in the glove. I don't think that's true anymore.
It could be, and we'll talk about that as a speculation at the end of season
Yeah.
of episode four. Go ahead.
Either way. So at this point, Benedict is despondent. He talks to Eloise on the swings, and Eloise is like, well, you became someone interested in marriage. Like, you're out of the singles club. And
I'm not friends with you anymore. It's so Eloise. Like, she's such an absolute. Nothing is gray. It's all black and white.
it's
Like,
like your brother might be interested in someone. Let him be interested.
my brother might be interested in someone. I can't be friends with him anymore. It's like, what the hell?
What
He's
do you
your
mean?
brother.
And then he starts being like, well, I guess I mean, would you let me into the club? And she's just like, I don't know, maybe. Are you going to keep me safe from our mother? And he's like, well, maybe mom, because mom, his mom has helped him so much in this search that and she'll help him more later, that like what. He has no reason to be upset at Violet at this point. And so he's just like, well, give mom a chance. Like, maybe she'll help you. I don't know. Maybe she has some good points. And so he leaves
Just
her.
speaking up for mothers, we do have good ones.
Yeah, you do. I'll admit that. Either
Thanks.
way, so Benedict leaves and he just starts partying like crazy because he
And he
wants to
parties
feel nothing.
some more. And it goes on clearly, like this is a real bender for him. So he is really like completely losing it.
He's feeling very dismissive. So he is at this party.
So before we get to the cabinet party, it's not just the cabinet party. There are a series of parties. It's like this whole bender that Benedict goes on, and you get the sense that he can't even tell all
Know
of
where
the
he
things.
is.
He doesn't even know where he is, right?
He's in the country right now and he doesn't know.
Right. So he starts out at a party in the city, and then like time passes, and he kind of comes out of a stupor at a party in the country that is at this guy Cavendish's house. The guys at this party are horrible. They are like touching the maids. They're just awful. And clearly they're like, oh, I'm gonna get with this maid, and she clearly is not wanting that. And they're just like, oh, it's just a matter of time. It's really, really awful the
Yeah.
way the guys are behaving.
They're literally the worst.
And Benedict, you get the sense that he's, coming out of his own, like, what the fuck have I been doing? Stupor. He's ready to leave. He talks to a friend of his there, and his friend's like, I got this actress who's agreed to be my mistress. And this is what's interesting to me in this. Benedict's like, so one woman wasn't enough. Is this guy married? I mean, it's
I'm
really
getting
unclear to
the
me.
vibe that he
Must
is.
be, yeah.
Either he's married or he has a mistress and he also goes to these parties and fucks with other people.
I don't know, but like clearly one woman is not enough for this guy, and they're like, whatever.
Maybe that's a general idea he needs to get past.
Right, maybe so. And so
Because he's saving
this
himself
friend,
for the lady in silver, but there's also Sophie. It's like, maybe we'll have a threesome. It's like, you know what? Actually, fucked hard. It's a twosome.
well, but so this
Sorry.
guy is clearly an influence on Benedict, and this
Yeah.
guy seems a tiny bit more sober than the other losers at this party. But I want to say this at some point in this series, and I figure now is a good time because I'm thinking about it. Who you associate with influences decisions that you make. So, like, these people that are friends of his clearly are like where he gets some of his ideas of what is normal and okay.
Yeah.
And obviously, this friend has some influence over him or influence over his thought process. And so I wanted to note that. Bennett goes outside and he's like ready to leave. And he overhears
Cavender.
Kavender and his friends assaulting a maid. Now,
Her name's Hazel.
her name's Hazel.
Also didn't really notice until this watch, and it just goes to show that. Oh, I don't know what it goes to show, but I didn't notice that she had an 1.5 arms.
Right, I didn't notice that
I didn't
until
notice the
I didn't
stub that she had.
notice it until later, like later after.
Axel is a fucking rock star
She can
working
be
as
a
a
maid.
maid.
Oh, dang, yeah,
Like,
like
I
serving
saw
these
her like
people.
holding the cups with her other arm. I'm just like, damn, girl, okay,
Yeah,
good
yeah.
for you. I love Hazel too. Hazel's really cool.
She is.
We'll talk about Hazel more later.
Yep.
But obviously, she's close with Sophie because Sophie runs in to defend her by like splashing some water on him and being like, step the fuck back, and having Hazel run off. And then he starts threatening Sophie.
Cavender does.
Cavender does. And Bennett comes rushing in and starts beating the guy up. And
Yay.
he acts at some point during the fight, glass is broken and he's rolled, Benedict is rolled on his side and he catches some on his side. We'll talk about that later.
Yep.
But he is basically like, apologize. You better fucking apologize. Otherwise, you're going to be cast out from society by the fucking Bridgertons.
Right.
You need to fucking
If
apologize.
you ever treat a woman this way, because he's like, it's just a maid. He's like, if you ever treat any woman this way, you will be cast out by society. And he's like, I apologize. And I want to do a comparison to how this happens in the book, but he does obviously intervene, and he also tells the other guys, fuck off, go away, and they do. But in the process, Kavender's like, well, we're not going to touch her again because she's fired. And Sophie's actually kind of like curled up in a ball on the corner watching this. Like, this is outside in a courtyard, so she's kind of astounded by what she's seeing. But then she
Admitting is this
recognizes,
is her fucking dream.
is
Being
Benedict
alone with
saving me?
Benedict, away from the Penwoods, not having as many repercussions for her actions
Right.
as she might have before. And she is like, Mr. Bridgerton, and he doesn't recognize her.
Well, right, but yeah, in this
No,
person.
literally, it's understandable why he wouldn't recognize her. And she clocks that, and she's like, he's like, have we met before? Have you like been a maid at another function that I've been at? And he's like, no. She's like, no, no, we
No.
haven't met. No.
Right. And so he
You can
and
understand why she shuts down at that point.
right. But you can also understand why he's confused.
Yeah.
And because he meets lots of people, particularly maids, don't always register with him. And
He treats them well, but he doesn't
treat them
always
like a friend,
recognize them.
right? So he's like, she starts to walk off. And he's like, where are you going? And she's like, I gotta walk to the next town to get another job because you just cost me my job. And he's like, you can't walk that far. It's dark. It's unsafe. I need to give you a ride. And he finally convinces her to
The
get in. And
gentlemanly thing to do.
he's like, I can get you a job in London. Get in my carriage. I'll take you to London.
And she's like, how would you get me a job in London? I've tried. And he's like,
I
I have my ways. And it's
have
just
my
like,
ways.
okay, whatever, sure, fine,
Yeah. And
whatever.
so
It's
she.
better than any other option she has at this point.
Right, and so she gets in the carriage with him. It's like I don't know if it's a curricle. I can't remember
I
what
think it's more of a
style of carriage.
curricle.
Well, I don't remember what style of carriage it is, but it's open. It does not have any kind of top to it. And she gets in with him, and he's going to give her a ride. And as he is like handing her up, he's like, "Are you sure we haven't met?" And she's like, "No, I'm just a maid. How could we have met?" And he's kind of like,
I
"Okay."
think that in this moment her emotions are riding high, and she's really pissed off that since he didn't recognize
Recognize
her,
her immediately.
it's reminding her of her place,
Yeah.
and she's really pissed off that she had to deal with that dipshit of a guy that this whole time that she's been working for the Cavenders, however long that time jump was, and she had to, poor Hazel was having difficulty. I think in this moment is when she also asks for him to look for employment for Hazel as well. Either this episode or next
I
episode, she
think it might be the
mentions
next
that.
episode, but still.
Yeah.
But yeah, she's very just the fact that he didn't recognize her immediately is very off-putting to her.
It also goes to show that it proves to herself that she shouldn't have revealed herself in that moment at Penwood House. Because that would have been a fucking nightmare. And it would
Right,
have
for
been in
him to
front of
be like, oh, you
Araminta.
couldn't be, yeah.
So it's just confirming everything she had believed up to this point of, I'm not worthy, so I shouldn't like say anything about this because it clearly didn't mean as much to him as it did to me. He's probably looking for somebody else. Whatever.
Yeah.
This is
And
not, and I think they've made it more clear in the show than in the book. But
right.
maybe that's
So
just because I can read their facial expressions and stuff like that.
here's the difference in the book. So in the book, what happens is Cavender has been for weeks harassing Sophie. It's not Hazel, it's not some other maid, it's Sophie that he's trying to get with. Trying to corner her and trying, to grope her and everything else. And when Benedict sees the guys harassing a maid, it's Sophie, and she's being held. She's physically unable to fight them. They are groping her breasts. He, like intervenes, and he's like, "Great, I'm gonna have to fight three of them." And she is so grateful, and she's been like through a lot in that moment. And she's just like, ah, at last, Benedict, my knight in shining armor kind of thing. But here's the other thing. In the book, and I know you said this was 6 months, it's not, it's 2 years difference between,
Oh no, I
and
meant
she's
6 months of him looking 2 years between. Because
right. So,
he says 6 months.
there are 2 years in between the ball where they met and this reveal thing, or like for him, her seeing him at this calendar party. And she's lost weight. She's had to sell her hair. She looks very, very different in the book. And she's upset with less reason, in my opinion, that he doesn't recognize her. But like more grateful, like because it's like the threat is immediately to her. And it's much more violent than it is that had been in this circumstance that's shown in the show, which again, like evening it out some makes it easier, I think, for an audience to manage, and it makes it easier, I guess, to understand some of the emotions, just being like, hey, you didn't recognize me, as opposed to I'm like in this trauma state and you didn't recognize me. So I think that, because they were talking about like, we're in for a bit of a rape, and the guys,
He will,
they're
yeah, that,
actually
that's what they
like, they're
say.
looking forward to some sort of gang rape of this maid.
And to be fair, they also mention in the show that, oh, we like it when they fight back. That's so fucked.
Calendar does
Yeah.
specifically, but it is a direct threat to Sophie and not to someone else, and I think
But
that
it
comes
becomes a
across too.
direct threat to Sophie after she gets the attention on her.
Yeah, she gets the attention, but n none of the physical touching. There's none of that restraint. None of the things, like when Benedict intervenes in the book, she's physically unable to move, and she can feel these guys like groping her. It's awful.
I don't really mind the change just because
I don't mind
it
it.
still shows off
It's just different.
her,
That's all
no,
my
yeah.
opinion.
It still shows off her character and how much she cares for others and how she
I
was.
just feel like her character is much stronger in this and much less victim-y.
I kind of like that, if
I'm
I'm
not
being
saying
honest.
it's
And I think that
bad.
people would have said, oh, he's just constantly saving her. It's just like, no, even in the book, she wasn't always just being saved by Benedict. Like, I wish that wasn't such a preconceived notion from the book, from people who have read the book. However, especially in this version, she is taking care of business on, by herself. And so, I mean,
No, I do. I understand. I feel like there are the differences, they even out and moderate a lot of the extreme emotions from the book into this more palatable thing that we're seeing in the show. And I'm not sure how I feel about it, because honestly, it's kind of like the whole Outlander thing. We get so upset about all of the sexual violence in Outlander, although I think all of the sexual violence happened. And I do think that the sexual violence that is being portrayed in this show quite likely is watered down significantly from what would actually have happened, which is closer to what would have been in the book. So I appreciate it for the kind of show that this is. It's meant to be fluffy and happy. However, if we're talking about historical accuracy, which clearly doesn't apply to the show,
Yeah, clearly.
clearly does not.
But we were prepared for that since the beginning.
Right. It's next one. So Benedict gives her a ride in the carriage to.
Also, can I just say that fight with like apologize? That's fucking hot as well.
And he's actually even stronger in the book, because he's like, don't apologize to me, apologize to her. You're offending her. And he's much tougher, I feel like, they do make his injury more significant in this series.
And I kind of like that because it makes it like a shorter recovery time, but at the same time, a little bit easier to understand and a little bit less, I don't know, boring. It's because in the, we'll talk about that next episode. However, I do like, obviously, they're going to keep this moment from the book,
You have to.
and you have to, absolutely. I think that they adapted it rather well.
I'm not saying it's bad.
And I think it shows off both of their characters rather well, but also it also shows off his inebriated state, where I think that
That
since he's
affects his ability to recognize her for
for
sure.
sure, for sure,
Yes,
because he holds
absolutely.
her hand and he when he helps her into the carriage and he's like, are you sure we haven't met? Because he can feel the spark.
Right. Like, well, it's not, you're going straight Centaur 3, aren't you?
And
But let me just say, the holding someone's hand, I don't know, has the same effect in real life. It might. It's been a while since we have a
He's looking at her in
sweatsuit.
a different way when he holds her hand.
Right, well, and when he's helping her. And I think some of it, like the angles matter, like when she's looking up at him from the ground versus like different angles. I think it matters. But I do think that interaction and seeing her from multiple angles, which happens with her helping her into the carriage, that kind of stuff, changes how he sees her. And she's shut down already emotionally because she's trying to keep herself safe. Like she does not want to be invested in him again, although she really can't help it. And I understand her reaction to it. But I do want to see a little more communication and forgiveness. So whatever, sooner. But that's not going to happen. That's not how these shows work. And yeah, it's okay. We have things going on. So what were your best parts of this episode?
My best parts are Sophie. I love Sophie. I feel so bad for her in this episode. And not just because she gets fired and not just because of the whole thing. It's that moment in particular. And that's also another best part of the peeking through the door scene. I think that encapsulates her struggle throughout this whole season extremely well. In a nutshell, it's just that she doesn't think that he's looking for her. And even though she was being her genuine self, she was dressed up to seem something else, and so she thinks that that made all the difference in the world, and that's the only reason why he would pursue her. She doesn't know his background and the fact that he doesn't really care about being nobility and having like a mistress like that, but she doesn't want to be a mistress. If anything, she wants to be his wife, and she wants if they were going to become anything more. And she knows that he can't court her the way he would court a young miss in society, but she's so
She feels like
far rooted in reality that she can't even allow herself the fantasy of, well, maybe he does want me for me.
right now. I think some of, and I'm sorry I'm interrupting.
No, go ahead.
So I feel like some of what's going on with her is that she feels like, in a parallel universe where she had been allowed to be the real ward of the Earl of Penwood, her presentation to Benedict would have been different. Her availability to him would have been different, and that by birthright, and I think the word birthright is even used in
It
previous
is.
episodes,
It's in this one.
she should be entitled to be courted by him,
But she's
but
not.
she's not, and she knows that, but he does not, and she's not going to explain it to him. She's not going to,
Because she's ashamed of it.
well, and she's also afraid. Like, she's been taught to be afraid of who she
Being a
is.
mistress and
And all
dying alone and untitled and unloved.
right, all the things.
She's been
So
told all this stuff. And I also like that. In contrast, he has been told, oh, it's great having a mistress. Oh, it's wonderful because I'm in love with her, but I also don't really have to worry
I'm not
about,
obliged.
I'm not obliged to
Yes.
her the way I am a wife.
Right.
And so
We can have all of the benefits and the detriments of
there is a
that.
mention of mistresses in every single one of these episodes. So if you were watching and you hadn't read the books, those were your clues.
Hint.
hint.
So
Furthermore, my best parts, Alfie. I fucking
Alfie's number
love
one for
Alfie.
me. Yeah, sure.
Alfie, if I were, I should have put him in all caps. I fucking love Alfie. I love him indulging in the fantasy of like, hey, you're my best friend. I want the best for you. This guy will get you out of this shithole. Like,
And you deserve
you
that.
deserve so much better than what you, it's like, and it's him, it's Alfie and the housekeeper who tell her, you are allowed by birthright to have these, like to have these gloves and these heirlooms. You are allowed to have them. The shoes were a stretch, but he didn't fucking care because Alfie's a legend. And so that's great. The housekeeper as well is a part of that as well. I like Posey. I think she's very sweet. I think her conversation with Benedict and Benedict being so kind to her is extremely telling of his character. And I like that he is so much of a rebel that, like, when he notices that Posey's being, like, tampered down or tamped down in some way by her mother, he immediately is like, no, I love your creativity. Tell me more. And I really love that he's not, he's so much of a free spirit that he's just like, no, I encourage that in other people. I like that a lot. Benedict in general, I love him search. This is a part of the book we didn't get to see. We just
Right.
heard about
Yeah.
of him searching for her and how much anguish he was in that entire time looking for this woman who in he starts questioning if she exists.
Was
And
she a figment of my imagination?
yeah, like, did I just talk to no one all night? Like, it's
What the fuck was
crazy.
that? Yeah.
No, but it's true. And I feel so bad for him in that moment of like, she does exist. She's just not the way you think she is. And again, that's the whole point. And I do love Benedict again with Posey, and him standing up for Sophie is great. That's awesome. Eloise helping her brother. I like that she's willing to do that. Even if she's hesitant on how she's doing it, she's still doing it for him, and I like that. Penelope. I love Penelope, first of all, helping Benedict, and then being when she's called down by Violet, just being like, oh yes, ma'am, absolutely. Here's all the information I know. That's very funny. Violet, I love Violet helping her child. She's like, well, you should have confided in your mother because I would have shortened this search immediately. which is very sweet. Yeah, I already said the peeking through the door scene and the Queen's apology. I think as much as I don't love this subplot and how it's dragging on a bit, I understand the sentiment there and her apologizing to Lady Danbury and expressing that vulnerability, I think is important.
Okay. Alfie is number one. Everyone,
Absolutely.
literally everyone, needs to have a Welsh gay friend.
Yes.
And he is
Or the equivalent
fantastic, or
of.
the equivalent thereof, but he is fantastic and we love him. Benedict, I agree, is just great in this episode. I feel like we're seeing a determination with him that we have not seen, a focus with him we haven't seen. And I really appreciate that, he's inspired that way.
Yeah.
Sophie obviously is great. And I feel like the performances from both of them
Oh,
separately
that
and
confrontation
together,
scene.
fantastic. It's
Oh.
so good. And I feel like that whole, all of it is really well worth watching. I put Eloise with a question mark. Mostly because Eloise generally annoys me, but the fact that she is willing to help her brother, and that he engages her to help is a good character development for her. I think that's important to her. Violet, of course, icon, fantastic. I love her in every imaginable way. Penelope, and I didn't put her down. I put her down after you mentioned her. I do agree. Like, she's very good in this episode. And I want to say this because I didn't say it in the first episode. The way they are using Penelope and Lady Whistledown in this series is better than I had hoped it would
I
be.
agree.
I feel like that has been a storyline that has monopolized so much of the last three seasons. In ways that I didn't like. I mean, obviously, it was appropriate for the, well, some of it was appropriate, not necessarily as portrayed, but was important for the Collins storyline, but it was not near, it was nothing in the books in the first two. And it really kind of overshadowed things that I cared about in those series,
Seasons.
those seasons. So, to have this take more of a supporting role to helping Benedict find love in his life. It doesn't happen in the books. It doesn't have to, but it's not the focus of everything. Now, of course, they could fuck it up in the second half of the season. I
I don't see
don't know. But
how
right
they
now,
could.
oh, there are ways. But right now, I'm liking how they're using
Yeah.
Lady Whistledown, and I like how they're using Penelope being part of the Bridgerton family. I
Oh, I
think that's
love
really
it.
good. I think it's
I
really
love that she just so seamlessly
right.
is
What I don't
introverted
like
into
is
it.
like leaving Colin out, but whatever. We'll talk about that
But
probably
Colin,
separately.
yeah, it
Whatever. Worst parts.
Araminta in all caps. Fuck you, bitch.
Yeah.
Rosamond, fuck you, bitch. The Queen drama taking so much time. Like I said before, I think it's not a bad idea of like exploring a new facet of the queen where she's afraid to lose people. I think that makes a lot of sense. It's very humanizing. Makes sense. However, with it taking so much time up in an episode, it does bug me because there's so many other good things that are being built up to, like the Violet and Marcus thing, which I didn't think was going to be a good part for me, but it has turned into it because I think they're implementing it in a good way. With the Penelope part, with Eloise and Benedict, and Benedict and Sophie, and all of that stuff, everything's going so well. And then there's the Queen supplement. And I'm just like, oh, okay, sure. This is being dragged along a lot
Things
more.
about which I give zero fucks. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Right. And Cavender. Fuck you, man. Fuck you and your friends who want to, like, bug maids and rape them. Fuck you.
Okay, Cavender's number one for me. I mean,
Absolutely.
I hate Araminta, she's horrible. Cavender and his entitled bullshit
Oh.
is so bad to me. Like, it is so, it's worse than frat boy. It's like, it's horrible. It is horrible.
Depends on the frat boy mate.
Whatever. All I can say is it's horrible. And I really, it really, really gets under my skin. I really, really hate it. I really hate, obviously, Araminta, because she's awful, though she is significantly worse in book. Rosamond, I hate just because she's so entitled and stupid, and it's a bad combination. And the desponding stuff. Like, everybody in this episode has a phase where we're just bereft
Except
and
for Sophie. Sophie,
desponding.
oh,
Yes,
also,
she does.
we forgot to mention Sophie sold the shoe clips even though they were paste and
Right.
not diamonds.
Right. And that they offered to like sell, give her more money for her necklace and she refused. But just all of this, I mean, Sophie's is not of her making, but the others are all like, I'm just not seeing the other side of this. I'm choosing to be unhappy kind of thing. Like I'm making my own life worse. I'm being my own worst enemy. And the queen I'm talking about, like Danbury to some extent, Benedict, although again, it's not wholly of his making, but it's there. And Sophie to some extent too. I feel like just there's a lot of not seeing the other side and kind of being despondent for or taking things for granted. So those bother me. What grade did you give this episode?
B plus.
I thought about a B plus. I gave it a B. It's kind of in between those two for me. It's not bad,
That
certainly.
moment with the door really
Oh,
pulls
that's
it up
true.
for me.
That's true.
It almost to an A minus, but I think it is a B plus just because of the
Yes.
Queen stuff. And it is more of a setup episode. You are getting information about Sophie, which I'm glad they paced it the way that they did, even though I am giving this a lower grade. I think that it would have slowed down the pacing of the last episode if we had learned all of this stuff about Sophie last episode.
Oh, sure. Yeah,
I
definitely.
think that leaving her a mystery until the very end makes a lot of sense.
Yeah,
And
yeah.
then having her backstory in this episode makes a lot of sense as well. And it also is moving the plot forward quite a bit. And I think that it's doing a really good job of doing it. And I still really like this episode. B plus is nothing to sneeze at, considering what we've been giving fucking
Outlander.
Outlander of like a D minus.
I gave a couple F's.
I think I gave an F at one point. I forget. But I'm just B
Sorry.
plus is a good thing.
It is.
It's just not it's even good for fucking Bridgerton as well. But I think that just in general, it is a setup episode. The Queen stuff does drag it a bit.
It is not, it's a really good episode, but it is not an amazing episode.
Agreed.
Agree. So we have more to
We have
come
my
this
comment.
season. We're so excited. We look forward to having you join us. We hope that you do. And
Cheers.
cheers.